May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord our God, our strength and our redeemer.
Amen.
Well, first off, it's the second Sunday in Advent, and what the focus is that we are to have joy in our hearts, you know, real joy in our hearts, not fear or anxiety or worry. We are to have peace in our hearts and in our actions, not destruction. We are to have love in our hearts and in our actions and in our minds, not apathy. But just so you know, in the readings where it says, let me find it, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, when you see that in the Bible, back then that meant respect. God never wants us to be afraid of him. God never wants us to be scared. So fear back then meant respect. So just try to keep that in mind. Also, just a side note, when you take these home and look through them during the week, look at all the action words, you know? And that's kind of like the theme of Advent, to learn how to have more action. We are to be living in joy, peace, love, not fear, not confusion, not destruction, and also with action. So the comic kind of lets us know how we're to live out our lives. We just prayed it. Merciful God, who sent your messengers, the prophets, to preach repentance, that's for us. We are to repent and prepare the way for our salvation. Give us grace, strength to heed the warnings and forsake, change our sins, and greet so that if we do that, if we repent and change our ways, then we can greet Jesus Christ with joy, not fear at all. Now, if we think about the preparing the way, how about this? What if you were in a jungle? What would we do? And we'll consider, not that the jungle is bad, but we'll consider our lives sometimes a jungle, all confused and just crowded with everything else. We'd have to actually get a sickle and hack our way through if we really want to prepare a way for the Lord to come to us. And we're supposed to do that for others, too. Not the reverse. Or think about how we prepare the way if it was like just a green meadow. It just needed to be a little bit weeded. Or maybe prepare the way of the Lord and actually with a red carpet take that much time. So we have to decide, where are we? What do we want to do? How are we going to get there? And so Isaiah explains how we do that. He explains God's will. And Isaiah explains God's way. And then after that, he tells us what occurs if we actually do it, if we actually do God's will, God's way. The first section of Isaiah tells us all about God's will. And then this part towards the end, and I love it, also downstairs in the kids' little room where that table is, there's a puzzle that someone put together with the lion and the lamb sitting together. It's absolutely beautiful. And that shows God's will. So Isaiah says, the wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. Now think about that. The calf and the lion and the fatling together. And then a little child will lead them. Totally opposite of what we're used to. But this is God's way. And then it goes on, the cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And it goes on and on. But then the one thing that caught my attention is this. For me, for Advent, this is such a good thing. They will not hurt or destroy on my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. We are not destructive. We are not angry. We are not afraid when we are full of knowledge of the Lord and striving to serve him. To me, that picture of the lion and the lamb, it just seems like the Garden of Eden to me, or how paradise is. Just perfect living and love. Living in the true nature that God wants us to live in. And that's his way. We are to be encouragers and doers of this way of God for ourselves and for others. We are to truly live in joy and peace, have a smile on our face, try to work out our tensions, and be attentive to others around us and the needs of others. Love unconditionally, just like Jesus, and do it ourselves. So once again, how do we do this? How does that all happen? Well, learning more each day about God, worshiping him truly more each and every day, serving and loving our Lord and ourselves and others each and every day as Jesus asks us. Paul tells us our true purpose of life in this Romans section. He says, may the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Jesus Christ. And here it comes. So that you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. As he welcomes us, we are to welcome others. Why? For the glory of God. So we learned really well today that God is love, God is encouraging, and our God is always constructive, not destructive. Always constructive. God is creative, never hurtful or cruel or mean. Just always calling us to him, loving us. And then we have, I think it's one of my favorites, it's from Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. And again we have, repent and prepare ye the way of the Lord. When John the Baptist was baptizing and people were coming, maybe not everybody, but most of them were true in their hearts. But John knew that the Pharisees and the Sadducees were just doing it for show. And I love it because when he saw them coming, he said, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And so what does he tell them? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Bear fruit worthy of repentance. We are not to repent with words only. We are to repent with action. Joy, peace, patience, love, encouraging one another, and serving. That's how we repent and change our ways. So I have a book, and I have very, very short little, they're not really stories, but I have one that talks about just being there for someone. A little girl lost a playmate in death, and one day reported to her family that she had gone to comfort the sorrowing mother. And they said to her, her father asked her, well, what did you say? And the little girl replied, nothing. I just climbed up on her lap and cried with her. That's the gift of being present. It takes action. It takes effort. It's not easy, but she was willing to do it. And then here's another story. An old man showed up at the back door. This is about financial help. An old man showed up at the back door of the house we were renting. Opening the door a few cautious inches, we saw his eyes were glassy and his furrowed face glistened with silver studded stubble. He clutched a wicker basket holding a few unappealing vegetables. He bid us good morning and offered his produce for sale. We were uneasy enough to make a quick purchase, though, to alleviate both our pity and our fear. To our chagrin, he returned the next week, introducing himself as Mr. Roth, the man who lived in the shack down the road. As our fears subsided, we got close enough to realize that it wasn't alcohol, but cataracts that marbleized his eyes. On subsequent visits, he would shuffle in wearing two mismatched right shoes and pulled out a harmonica. With glazed eyes set on a future glory, he'd puff out old gospel tunes between conversations about vegetables and religion. So on one visit, he exclaimed, "The Lord is so good, I came out of my shack this morning and found a bag full of shoes and clothing on my porch." "That's wonderful, Mr. Roth," said the couple. "We're happy for you." And then he replied back, "You know what's even more wonderful?" he asked. "Just yesterday, I met some people that could use them." And one more story. This is about words. I should have had popcorn, sorry. "Could I speak to the managers?" my friend's sudden query to our waitress startled me. Our dinner at a popular pizza restaurant had seemed uneventful, and I wondered, what was Eileen up to? The manager appeared at our table a few minutes later. "What can I do for you?" she asked hesitantly, as if she were expecting yet another reprimand from an angry customer. "Well, I just wanted you to know that our waitress tonight has really been exceptional," Eileen began. Then she described the several things that the server had done, which impressed her. The manager was obviously relieved and delighted. So was the waitress, who was standing nearby. The four of us laughed and chatted for a few minutes. Eileen had made the day of the two hardworking women and left an indelible impression on me about the power of positive words. Well, Eileen, like the others, made an effort. They were words, but true action, true kindness that was needed. And love is always needed. Now, this prayer that I'm going to end with is in our Book of Common Prayer. If you'd like to join me, you can. It's on page 814. It's the first prayer for prayers for the world, and it's number one, for joy in God's creation. I'm going to try to make it contemporary. Oh, Heavenly Father, who has filled the world with beauty, open our eyes to behold your gracious hand in all your works, that rejoicing in your whole creation, we may learn to serve you with gladness for the sake of him through whom all things were made, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.